This is KVNF Regional News. It's Thursday, March 13th. I'm Patricia Naft. Highway 65 on Grand Mesa is open again. The road through Plateau Canyon closed last week due to a large rock slide. The Colorado Department of Transportation has cleared off more than 600 tons of rock debris from a section of road 3 miles south of I-70. A more permanent solution is coming soon. The Montrose County Sheriff's Department recovered a woman's body from the Uncompahgre Plateau yesterday. The woman was reported missing to the Mesa County Sheriff's Office. Cell phone data showed the woman was last heard from in the Sawmill Mesa area of the plateau. Deputies located an abandoned vehicle yesterday evening and found the woman's body inside. Authorities have not released the woman's name. One of the priorities of this legislative session has been dealing with last year's aftermath of devastating wildfires and floods. Dozens of natural disaster-related bills are currently making their way through the State House, but, as Benta Berkland reports, some of the more significant policies aren't yet being considered.
The annual legislative session is typically marked with plenty of partisanship, but this year lawmakers in both parties are working together on flood relief bills.
You know, when you're in the minority party, you think, hey, this is a really great place to go, right? Because you have an equal voice at the table.
Senate Minority Leader Bill Cadman of Colorado Springs says the Flood Disaster Study Committee was truly a bipartisan effort.
People got to work quickly on that. I think we're doing really good work for the state.
Some of that work includes more money to help impacted counties repair roads and limited liability to all volunteers responding to a disaster so they can't be sued if something goes wrong.
What we're working on in the committee is to be better prepared for the future.
Democratic Representative Dave Young of Greeley co-chaired the Flood Study Committee, and he's sponsoring a bill to clarify that state funds can help communities come up with local matching FEMA funds.
Their entire community is wiped out. They don't have the financial resources to come up with a 25% match. Communities like Jamestown could only come up with about 2.5%.
2013 was also a year for destructive wildfires, and state officials expect the wildfire season to become longer and even more devastating. Lawmakers are moving forward a tax credit to homeowners for removing trees from their property, and there's a measure to provide death benefits for seasonal firefighters killed in the line of duty. But the boldest idea is still in limbo.
We're running out of time, and I see this going up to the last day, and that's very frustrating.
That's Republican Senator Steve King from Grand Junction. He supports mitigation efforts in the fire-prone areas, but wants more state muscle to put out wildfires and prevent damage to watersheds.
We have 4 million acres of dead trees around our water. Water which provides life to 25 million people, not only in Colorado, but 6 lower basin states. I can't think of a larger priority.
King is waiting for a state study on the cost effectiveness of an air fleet before moving something forward. But lawmakers are not even considering some of the tougher proposals stemming from the governor's wildfire task force, such as a minimum statewide building code, a fee for people living near forests to pay for fire mitigation, and an upgraded mapping system that could show the fire risk on specific properties. Democratic Senate President Morgan Carroll says those measures go too far.
One of the problems with mapping is the very people we might be trying to help, we might be stigmatizing essentially their property values and creating sort of an unintended glut in the market where you kind of get the scarlet letter.
Lawmakers say disaster relief will continue to be a top priority as they debate the budget later this month. Representative Dave Young warns that especially when it comes to flood victims, many people are still hurting and displaced, and he hopes the state will have the resources to tackle those unmet needs. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Women in Colorado still make less money than their male counterparts. That's according to new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. In 2012, Colorado women earned 78% of what men in similar roles were making. That's less than the national ratio of 81%. The ratio of women to men's earnings varies around the country. In Washington, D.C., the ratio is almost equal. Women there make about 95% of what their male counterparts do. Women in Wyoming, however, have it the worst, making 66% of what their male counterparts earn. That's approximately the national ratio from the early 1980s. Interestingly, men's salaries have not risen as much as women's. Since 1978, earnings for women who went to college have risen by 28%. male college graduates saw only their salaries increase by 17% in that same time period. Marijuana merchants are having a hard time finding space to grow their product. The Denver Post reports that it can be difficult for pot growers to find large warehouses because pot growing is illegal in many towns and cities around the state, and in places where it is legal, space is tight. In Denver, where pot growing is allowed, the vacancy rate for industrial spaces is at about 3%, the lowest in decades. A real estate tracker estimates that pot growers occupy about 4.5 million square feet in the city. That's about 78 football fields. And that space is getting more expensive. Rent for warehouse space is four times higher than it was in 2009, before the medical marijuana industry began to boom. The lack of suitable space means there isn't enough pot to satisfy demand. Nobody is growing enough marijuana, Jason Thomas, a Denver area realtor, told the Denver Post. Activity is off the charts, but we are still not meeting demand. Every spring, thousands of sandhill cranes migrate through western Colorado. The giant long-legged birds leave their winter range in Mexico and fly to the northern U.S. where they spend the summer. Fruit Growers Reservoir in Eckerd is a favorite stopover for the birds. Already this week, birdwatchers have spotted hundreds of cranes. A number of area nonprofits and state agencies are inviting the public to come check out the cranes for the 12th annual Eckerd Crane Days. Crane Days begins next Friday afternoon, March 21st, with a presentation at 1 p.m. at the Eckerd Presbyterian Church. Viewings continue on Saturday and Sunday morning, and for more information, visit EckerdCraneDays.com. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Joanna. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.